Well, good morning. And if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Barry. I'm the lead pastor of Bridgewater. I'm glad that you're here, and I especially want to welcome those who are listening and online. I want to remind you again, as Denise did in the feed, that next week we are starting off our Vision 2018 campaign. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks, and it really is our goal to do some amazing things with your gifts, your generosity. And some of you may not have caught it during the feed, but we're talking about buying property for a church in India. And out there, it's very difficult to buy property. And we want to just be able to give them the money and say, here, go buy property. And plant your church. It's in a city, which is strategic as they reach not only there, but as they reach out from the city. And so we want to be a part of that. The teacher gift bags, our sixth campus, which will be online. By the way, we are beta testing that today. And so we're going to kind of get some feedbacks from a few people, what it looks like as they watch online. And so if you guys do a really bad job, because I know that for me, it's a given. But for you guys, if it's poorly, we're going to come back to you and say, stop it. Okay. Laugh louder so they can hear you. That's awesome. Can we practice crying? Okay. That's awesome. Great. Okay, so we're in the middle of this series with the problem of God. And so there's so many times that you've talked to people that they look at this whole deal with Christianity and God and just go, yeah, I kind of got a problem with that. And so we're trying to talk through some of those issues. I appreciate Josh, Pastor Josh, being here last week, talking about a very difficult topic, but also a relevant topic when it came to evolution. If you missed that, you can go back online and watch that sermon. This week, we're going to talk about hypocrisy. And there are many reasons why people reject Christianity, but one of the reasons that I've heard, or reasons that I've heard most of all, are these two things. That Christians, I'm sure you've never heard this before, right? But Christians are hypocritical, and they have a tendency to be judgmental, right? You know, those people are hypocrites in that church. That's why I don't do church there. And so we're going to be talking about that. And honestly, Christians, let's be honest, we have been guilty of being unkind and unforgiving and being judgmental and not practicing what we preach from time to time, right? Let's just be honest. We've all had those struggles. Christopher Hitchens said this. He's an atheist and an author, and he said this: the number one argument against the existence of God is Christians themselves. I want you to take that in. The number one argument against Christianity is basically us. And so we're going to talk about it, about being hypocritical and judgmental. But before we demonize the church, wouldn't it be fair to say that everyone in society struggles with being judgmental and hypocritical? College professors, man, they can be extremely judgmental and hypocritical, right? All ideas are okay unless they're Christian ideas. Other professionals, business owners, students, homeowners, and yes, Christ followers have all been guilty of being hypocritical and judgmental. Hypocritical people are people that do this. They contradict in their behavior what they claim to believe or feel. Another way to put it is this: they say one thing and they do something totally different. We say that we have values. We say we have beliefs. We say we have principles that we are to live by. But so often, our actions don't reflect those values, those beliefs, or those principles of what we say we believe. And so, here are a couple of examples for people in general. When we say, are you hypocritical? Moms and dads, have you ever yelled at your children for texting while driving? Or threatening to take their life if you ever catch them texting while driving? And if you catch them, you'll ground them. However, there are times that you'll pick up your phone as you're driving and you'll text. Or those who want to be the ethical police of life, right? They know right from wrong. Man, it's black and white in your world. You're ready to fire someone for making poor decisions in their life, for behavior that they did that are not consistent, that are not ethical. However, you will fill your purses and pockets with food and snacks and drinks as you walk through the sign that says no outdoor, no food from outside, as you go in the movie theaters, right? Politicians vote to raise our taxes because People need money in our towns and in our counties and our states and in our country. However, they don't pay taxes. Right? We all have a tendency at times to say one thing, but then live differently in our life. So today I'm going to focus on the church, but I want you to remember that while hypocrisy has infiltrated the church, it's also saturated our society. So here's three things that I want you to take away today. That at Bridgewater, I think we're pretty willing to admit this stuff. Some churches aren't, but we're willing to admit this. Here are three things that we're going to admit today. The church has problems. The church has problems. And when we talk about the church is made up of God's people, right? So God's people, they have problems. Yes, we go to church and we sing songs and we learn valuable principles that are supposed to make our lives a little easier or better. But frankly, let's just be honest. We have problems. All of us know what it's like to live in a fallen world. And when we are confronted with depravity, there are times that we are victorious. And there are times that we are overcome by the things of this world. And before you know it, we find ourselves participating in things really we have no business participating in. Every one of us have messed up. In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this, for what? For all have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. Every single one of us have messed up in life. And what that means in layman term is basically this, from lying to cheating to sharing something with someone we have no business sharing to being consumed with a substance that takes control of our mind and our lives to ungodly anger and jealousy. Every one of us have made poor decisions in our lives and we have messed up. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. How many of you can identify with the Apostle Paul? This guy wrote the majority of the New Testament. He's saying this, what in the world? Why is it that I struggle so much with the things that I'm supposed to do and I end up not doing them, and the things that I don't want to do, I actually hate, I end up doing? And so for me in my life, I can identify with Paul because there are times in my life that I make a decision to do something. It's the right thing to do. And I look back on life and said, why did I fail to do it? And the things that I say I really don't want to do, I end up doing. From our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, every single one of us, not only in this church but in society, have led messy lives at one point or another. So at times, though, the church has taken the hit for things that they're not really even responsible for. People love to blame the church because they are an easy target. And the reason they're an easy target is sometimes they sit back and they turn the other cheek and they don't want to fight, they want to get involved. But sometimes we take hits for what we haven't done. And there are times we do take hits for what's happened in the history. Some people love to denounce Christianity based on a couple of things. They look back to things like the Crusades and the witch trials and they say, man, this is some horrible stuff. And because of that, I'm going to denounce Christianity because of the things that have transpired. Yeah, over 800 years, almost 2 million lives have been taken under the umbrella of Christianity because they were fighting for something. But I want you to realize a couple of things that are interesting to me. Alison McGrath said this, in the 20th century gave rise to one of the greatest and most distressing paradoxes of human history. The greatest intolerance and violence of that century were practiced by those who believed that religion causes intolerance and violence. Do you get that? So they're saying, because Christians, it sounds like college classrooms sometimes, right? The university classrooms. Christians are bad. They're intolerant. They're violent. And since they're intolerant and violent, what we're going to do is we're going to react to them. And what has been a greater injustice has taken place. Here are a couple of examples. While Christianity has had its dark moments in history, the lack of Christianity has proven far worse. Joseph Stalin is said to be responsible for 30 million deaths in Russia from 1929 to 1953. Adolf Hitler is supposed to be responsible, they say, for 40 million European deaths. Mao Zedong is supposed to be responsible for over 50 million Chinese deaths. So in 50 years, atheists have been responsible for over 100 million lives taken. So people will say, atheists are good people, they're kind people, whatever. I'm not saying they're not. What I'm saying is, if you are going to denounce Christianity for 2 million deaths over 800 years, what are you going to do with people who are atheists who are responsible for the death of over 100 million people in 50 years? It's being intellectually dishonest. See, some people need to stand up at times and say, it is intellectually dishonest for you to take that kind of stand and say you're denouncing something based upon that something that's happened. If you denounce that, then in reality you need to denounce all this other stuff that has transpired. Unfortunately, it's not history that has turned people off to Christianity. The problems of history. Typically, what has turned people off to Christianity is the problems they've had personally in their life with other people, with their neighbors, with their families, with the church that they grew up in. I remember back to the years I've led men's groups, community small groups, and it surprises me as you get together with a bunch of men and they start sharing their stories, and they actually open up about some of the things they've experienced in life. And there's a lot of hurt sometimes with men because of things that they've experienced. I remember one man specifically, I think it was the second year I was in ministry. And I sat down, I was with this guy, and he started telling the story. And this guy was kind of a grumpy guy, a little prickly. But I kind of got his demeanor a little more after I heard his story. He grew up in an ultra-conservative home. It was all kinds of rules, all kinds of regulations. And if you messed up, you paid the price dearly in that family. However, he stepped back, and even though his dad was a hard guy, he loved his dad and he respected his dad because he had these such high standards in life. And so as he walked through life, he goes, man, I don't necessarily agree with everything that's going on. It was kind of a don't drink, don't chew, don't go out with women who do kind of environment, you know? And so it's like he sat there, and it's like, but I respect my dad. Like, I respect him. He's just this guy who's godly, and I just want to be like that someday. And one day he was in the garage looking for some tools or for something in the garage. He started looking through trying to find it. And what he found was his dad's pornographic magazine stash. And here's a guy 30 years later, he's in his 40s, telling that story with tears in his eyes, and you can sense the anger coming out some 30 years later. Because the man that he had looked to and respected and put up with all of his rules and said, man, someday, he realized that his dad didn't practice what he preached. And it wrecked him. And you could see as we met in this men's group that it impacted his journey, his spiritual journey, for those 30 years. There was a skepticism about Christianity, about true righteousness. Maybe you know someone who's been turned off by hypocrisy because someone didn't practice what they preached. Maybe you are someone who got turned off by hypocrisy because you saw a spiritual leader who didn't practice what they preached. We have religious leaders today who claim to be spiritual, and they take advantage of their position by molesting children. How do you make sense of that? You have people who are supposed to be spiritual leaders in life, and they preach hell, fire, and brimstone, and then they get involved in a relationship that's outside of their marriage. How do you justify that? And then you have people out there who talk a good game, and they look the part on Sunday morning. Oh, they dress up so nice when they come to church. And then they go to work, and they're horrible employees. They're absentee fathers. They're the moms who sit in the stands and talk about the other moms. And they give Christianity a really, really bad name. Hypocrisy is not something that just happened in the past. It happens in the present, and it will continue to happen in the future until Christ returns. Why? because the church has problems. We all have problems. This morning, if you are here for the first time, or you come on a regular basis, I want to let you know something. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite because there are times that I don't practice what I preach. Oh, I don't do it on purpose. But there are times I sit down, and before you know it, I react to somebody in a way that I have no business reacting to them like. And I sit back and say, you should be better than that. So if you want to point to me and say, yeah, that guy's a hypocrite, you know what I'm going to tell you? You're absolutely right. But I want you to know that I've been on a journey of trying to be less like this world and more like Jesus. And all I'm doing is trying to encourage people to join me. Guys, if you put me on a pedestal, it is a huge mistake. Right? Because we're in it together. All we're trying to do is to be victorious in this life. And there's sometimes that I win, and there's sometimes but I lose. And I look to God and say, please be patient with me as I continue to take this journey to become like you. Just be patient with me. And we have tried to create a ministry in this church that allows people to come into this building knowing that even though their lives are not perfect, they belong, right? Because we're messy people, and we just want you to join us. And maybe along the way, we can just encourage each other to live more like Jesus. What did Paul say to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1? Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I used to always say scripture like is inspired and is never without any error. But I think there's an error right there because Paul thinking he is the worst is out of his mind. Look at me. Like, I win, Paul. Like, really? I'm worse. I'm worse than you. But I'm forgiven. And I'm on a trajectory, hopefully, to become more like him and less like this world. Will you join me? I've had people tell me the church is full of hypocrites, and I just say, yes, yes, they are. But I remind them the church is not a museum for saints. It is a hospital for sinners. Amen. Folks, remember that. We are not here to put up pedestals and put people on them. We are here. We are here to help people who are hurting, people who have habits, people who have all kinds of hang-ups. We're here to help. That's what our mission is. And we're in it together. And we're all at different places in the journey. And wherever you are in the journey, we just want to pick you up at that place in the journey and help you move along as you help us move along. I want you to know that when we own our depravity, I think it's disarming to those people around us. When we try to put on air and make it sound like we're something special, then, man, we just leave ourselves open for people taking shots at us. But we go, you're messed up. Yes, we are. We are messed up. Come join us. You'll fit in perfect, right? Come on. I remember a time when I was a youth pastor, and I was like off the rails as a youth pastor. You want to think I was crazy? No, I was nuts as a youth pastor. And I would get in trouble once in a while, which is kind of shocking. But I would get in trouble. And then one day this mom came to my door, and you can tell she was hot. I mean, she was so mad. And she's sitting there like, and I'm going, oh, here we go, here we go. And so she walked in, and you could tell she was ready for a fight. She really was ready for a fight. And I kind of sat there, and she went off. She told me what her issues were, and blah, she just went on and on and on. I listened to her. And when she got done, this is what I said. You're right. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I wish I had a camera to take a picture of her at that moment. Because there literally was on her face was like a, what? And she said, I can still remember to this day. This was probably 25 to 30 years ago. I can still remember. And she looked at me, she goes, I wasn't expecting that. And she just stood there at the door. And then she turned around and walked away and never said another word. She just walked away. It's like, and I thought to myself, I need to use that one more often. That one works. Let's be honest. I'm not sure there's anyone who has perfectly lived up to the standard they have set up for themselves. I'm not sure any of us live up to the standard that we have set up for ourselves. So let's just admit it. We have problems. Let's be honest about it. We haven't lived up to what God has called us to. And even sometimes, more frustrating, we've not even lived up to the place of what we've called ourselves to, what we want to be. And so we have problems. Secondly, I want you to know this. The church has always had fake disciples. Just because someone attends church, it doesn't make them a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. It doesn't. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13 and verse 15 says this. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you are hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Wow. That's awesome. I'm memorizing that because I'm going to use that for other people sometime. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Man, that's rough, isn't it? You make them a child of hell more than you. It's like, so here's these people. They say they are religious people. But they really don't love God, and they don't love other people at all, and they don't really preach biblical truth. And when people want to get to heaven, they basically shut the door on them and say, no, you can't go through because you're not living this standard that I expect you to live. But the bottom line is, you're not going through the door either. And they sit there and they condemn other people. They shut the door on them. And when they make disciples, they look absolutely nothing like Jesus. These were the most religious people, supposedly, of the day. And Jesus stepped up and said, I save my firmest and strongest rebuke for you, because what you're doing is wrong. You shut the door of heaven to people who are trying to figure it out. And when you make disciples that look nothing like me. I want you to know that there are times that the church takes a hit, and frankly, the people who are shooting at those individuals are shooting at people who truly aren't followers of Jesus Christ. You know, there's people who are going to stand before Jesus someday, and he's going to say, I never knew you, depart from me. Yeah, but we said good things. We said religious things. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. See, there's a lot of people who play the game of church. And I'm not talking about people who sit back and have hurts, hang-ups, and habits. I'm talking about ultra-conservative people who sometimes make rules and regulations an issue of righteousness. It's not about what's on the inside. It's not about life change. It's about the way you look on the outside. And if that's the way the church preaches, that's pharisaical. And Jesus had some strong words for people like that. Listen to me. We talk about life change all the time at Bridgewater. Why? Because it's about a change of heart. It's about a change on inside. We believe that if God gets a hold of your life through the power of his word, through the power of his Holy Spirit, and through the gospel message of Jesus Christ, he can take any hurt, any habit, any hang up, and he can change them. He can radically change people. And that's the message that we will preach. We believe that if you are changed on the inside, things on the outside will automatically change too, right? Because when we love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and might, we look at him and say this, I see your commandments, and your commandments are not a burden to me. Why? Because I love you, and I want to please you because I love you. I just want to obey. Here's the problem. Folks, you can't attack Christianity's teaching based on the lives of people who don't follow Christianity's teaching. People who are attacked oftentimes for Christianity are people who aren't necessarily living the message. They aren't living the life. And they attack Christianity for people who aren't living the message of Christianity. If you want to attack Christianity, go for it. But why don't you attack actually the life and the teaching of its founder, Jesus Christ? So if you're going to reject Christianity in any place, I get it. But reject Jesus, reject his life, reject his teaching. When Jesus said stuff like this, love your enemies and pray for them, and you don't want to accept that, I get it. Say, that's crazy. Who wants to do that? I reject Christianity based upon what he said. But don't reject it based upon people who are not living the message of Christianity. So, if you want to criticize anything in life, is this not true? You can find someone to back your bias anywhere. You can go Chick-fil-A. I like Chick-fil-A. We don't have any around here. Suppose we were supposed to get one, right? I keep hearing about it. I don't see a Chick-fil-A going up, though. But anyways. But we're the people who go on vacation, and we go out of the Chick-fil-A, yay! And we put on the map, Google Map, where's Chick-fil-A's? And you go off to it. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Chick-fil-A. So here we go. So, but when we go to Chick-fil-A on the road, you typically what you're going to find, and we've been to Chick-fil-A's all up and down the East Coast. We really have. Out in the Midwest, we've been to Chick-fil-A's everywhere. You will typically find a similar experience. There'll be clean restaurants, good food, and decent employees. Typically, that's what you'll find, right? And no matter where you go. I guarantee that somewhere, somehow, someplace, you're going to find an employee that's had a really bad day. And they're going to be a little snarky with you when you walk in. And what you're going to do is you can base your opinion on Chick-fil-A on that one employee that had a bad day. Oh, don't forget all the other stuff. If I want to find some proof to belittle an organization, I can find someone, somewhere, somehow, that poorly represents that organization. And I think it's the same way when it comes to Christianity. We can find people who are poor representatives of God's people. But if you're going to reject it, please reject it on the teaching and on the life of Jesus Christ. Leo Tolstoy, and I wish I put this on the screen and I didn't, but I want you to listen to me. Please don't get caught up in the thing, but Tolstoy's an interesting dude. But anyways, he said, look at my present life and then at my former life, and you will see that I do attempt to follow Christ. It is true that I have not fulfilled 1,000th part of them, which is Christian teachings, and I'm ashamed of this, but I have failed to fulfill them not because I did not wish to, but because I wasn't able to. Don't attack me, but attack the path I follow. If I know the way home and I'm walking along it drunkenly, is it any less the right way because I'm staggering from side to side? He goes on to say, if you know a better way, a truer way than Christianity, then please inform me. But don't reject Christianity just because I'm not a good Christian. So he's saying this, I'm walking down this path. I'm heading down this road. I know I'm going in the right direction. I'm heading home. But man, sometimes I'm like a drunken guy walking home and I'm staggering all over the place. Please don't belittle Christianity because I'm staggering down the path. So if you're here and you're skeptical about Christianity, can I encourage you, instead of looking at those people staggering down the path, can I encourage you to look to the teaching and the life of Jesus Christ, and if you're going to reject anything, reject that. So here's a question I have for you, and my time is gone. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? That's really what it comes down to. Are you truly a devoted follower of Jesus Christ? The gospel message is really, really simple. We mess up. I think we all agree to that, right? We all mess up. And we need a Savior. There's absolutely nothing we can do on our own to restore a relationship that has been broken with God. And maybe you're here today and you know that your relationship with God is broken. You're not in fellowship with him. You don't get it. You're not in. You read the word. Like, I don't really don't get the Bible a lot. And like, I don't pray at all. I try to pray, but it doesn't seem to go anywhere. And I'm looking for something. I'm looking for hope. If you're here today and you recognize that you are a sinner like me, and you're in need of a Savior, let me give you Jesus today. Jesus is a person who came to this earth and lived a perfect life. He was God himself. And he came with a purpose of restoring a broken relationship between the people that he's created and God the Father. And the only way he could do that was by giving of himself. And we celebrated Easter, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And what happened is he went to the cross to pay for what I've done and to pay for what you've done. He said, I'm going to take it on my own. I'm going to take it on my own. I'll pay for what you've done. He went as a perfect sacrifice to pay for all of those hurt, hang-ups, and habits that we have. And he said to God the Father, I've paid for it. Here they are. And all you have to do, it says, is this, is you have to come to God, and by faith you say, I believe that story. I believe that Jesus did what he came to do. I believe Jesus is who he said he was. And it said, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, it says this, you will be saved. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, it says this simply, will not perish, but have everlasting life. So the question is simple. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Or are you sitting here saying, if I stood before God someday in the end, I'm really not sure what I would say when he said, why would I let you into my heaven? Well, you know, I've tried to be really good, and I could have taken that stuff that one time. I didn't take it. But if you come to him with anything besides Jesus, he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Today, I invite you to accept Jesus. As I close, the third point was this. The church is messy. I've already talked about it. But it says this, and I'm going to make it really short at the end. It says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, referring to Jesus was meeting with people that were considered sinners. And he said this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Sounds like that statement, doesn't it? The church is not a museum for saints, but it's a hospital for sinners. Folks, I want you to know, when we all come together, let's just own it. When we all come together and we all walk through that door, church can be a little messy, right? Because we're people who have fallen short of the glory of God. But there's a reason we have greeters at the door and not bouncers. People have said over and over again when they walk through the door and say, I'm so shocked the way how nice you've been to us. Listen to me. My job is not to be the Holy Spirit. My job is just to communicate truth and allow God to do his job. And we want everyone to come. We want people to feel like they belong. And we want to greet them as they come through the door. But you don't understand where I've been. I don't care. I know where Jesus can take you, though, because I know where he's taken me. I was that guy that walked away from God, and he loved me, that one guy that loved me. Remember the sheep? We sang the song? I'm the one he came after. I'm the one guy he came after. And so, man, I just look at you and say, man, you're a bunch of ones out here, right? You are a bunch of ones out here. We're all in it together. Why would we beat each other up? Why not just cheer each other on in the faith? Man, I'm excited about what God's going to do. So whether you're an imposter, whether you're a fake disciple, or whether you're a devoted follower of Christ, I'm glad you're here. And wherever you are in your journey, I hope that we can help you to become less like this world and more like Jesus. So if you're a faith follower, man, can we practice what we preach? We're going to make mistakes, but let's do what the book calls us to do. And if you're here and you're still skeptical, I get it. I really do get it, because we're messed up. So seriously, but don't evaluate it based upon who we are. Base it upon who Jesus is and what Jesus taught. Because someday every one of us will stand before him after this life, and we will be accountable not for everybody else. We will be accountable for us. And so when you stand before him, is your argument going to be, look at them? Because if it is, he's going to look to you and say, but what did you do with Jesus? So today I invite you, if you've never accepted Christ, man, give your life to Christ. And if you're a faith follower and you're not doing well in your journey, you're just like the rest of us at different times in our journey. Can we encourage you and cheer you on to live in a way that pleases God? Would you bow your heads with me? And so if you're here today, and I'm going to ask you, and I know this is kind of maybe a little awkward, but seriously, if God is working on you and you're sitting here right now, I want you to walk out of here without the opportunity to respond. But maybe you're here right now and you're sitting there thinking, if I would die today, I'm really not sure what eternity holds for me. I'm not sure that I would be accepted by God. And I'm a little nervous about that. So today, like, I want to kind of make things right with him. So if you're here and you're that person, here's how you do it. There's no magical formula. It's just basically this. You just have to admit to God, I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. I know I failed so many different ways. And it's so much easier to point at other people. But reality, when I stand before you, I'm the problem. And I'm sorry. I've heard about Jesus before, but I never really fully understood what he did for me. And I do understand he went to the cross. He died, was buried, and he rose again so that I can have eternal life. And you said if we believe that, we will have eternal life. And today I want to accept that, that incredible message of salvation. Today, if you prayed that prayer along with me in your own words and said, you know, I'm on this journey, I'm trying to figure it out. Kind of said the prayer, I'm still not sure, but man, I kind of prayed. If you're that person, would you raise your hands and say, hey, pray for me? Because I'm on that journey right now. I'm trying to figure it out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. Guys, we're all in it together, right? Is there anyone else who says, you know, I'm in that place right now in my life that I need Jesus. I've never taken that step in my life. Is there anyone else? God, thank you for what you're doing in the lives of people. It is about changed lives. It's about what happens on the inside and not necessarily on the outside. God, I pray that you would grab hold of every one of us, no matter where we are in the process, and you will make us more like you. When we fail, I pray that we will not be the church that stands and kicks people while they're down, but instead we put a hand out and help them back up. May we be a church of love and grace and mercy, just like you are towards us. And for those who raise their hand today that are going on this journey, God, I pray that they would have confidence, not in the life that they've lived, but in the life that Jesus led and the life that he gave for us. Thank you for what you do, and we pray that you continue to do it. We ask this in your son's name.